you, Chris Morales, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. We're expecting to talk to Keyshawn Johnson about the big NFL weekend in moments, and of course a big Monday night game. Lamar Jackson versus Patrick Mahomes tonight on ESPN. Probably the best Monday night game since the Rams Chiefs game a couple of years ago. That was an unbelievable game. So we can hope for that tonight. Meanwhile, Lakers on their way to the NBA Finals with a victory on Saturday night over Denver and an absolutely dominating performance. Dominating performance by LeBron James. When it was win time, it was win time, man.
LeBron was as good in that game, Mace, as I've seen him in his Laker career, in the 2 years Laker career. I mean, 12 points, 4 in assisted baskets, taking over on both ends. And I think if he's dialed in like that, then the Lakers win this probably in 6 games. But let's see. Miami's been playing good, too.
You know what I say? It's cakewalk, John.
Not
straight to the title. By the way, you know what happened on Saturday? I'm generally not on Twitter on the weekends, but I tuned into Twitter on Saturday night after the Lakers game. And you know how many people just tweeted me, whoosh, whoosh, or whoosh, just over and over again. I got probably 75 tweets.
Excellent.
From just people saying whoosh, because
well,
that's how we're getting there.
Well, you did turn out to be right. I mean, it was in 5, and although I thought it was a pretty hard-fought series, the Lakers, they haven't gone more than 5 in any of these yet, Portland, Houston, or Denver. And you think they can take care of Miami in 5?
I do. Yeah, I absolutely do.
I think it's 6 or 7.
Miami's going to play that zone that they used against Boston, and they're going to try to take away the paint, but good luck trying to take away the paint from this Lakers team and Anthony Davis and LeBron. And I would imagine that, defensively, they've got AI that can play on LeBron and has had success doing it. It's been a couple of years. Bam Adebayo is an emerging star. Goran Dragic, nice player. But if you think about it, a lot of what they've done has been player development, right? Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo. I mean, they've been developing talent. And they've got a really good culture. I know you're not a big culture guy, but I think the Heat have a really good culture. It's basically do what Ryle says.
Right.
That's the culture.
They don't suffer fools or put up with anybody that tries anything goofy or crazy, and it's worked really well for them.
Yes.
So, and Jimmy Butler's perfect for them because he holds everybody accountable and he's really good.
We may or may not have Keyshawn today. We'll see. I wanted to bring this up though, John. The Dodgers are in action Wednesday night in their first round playoff series, and it is going to be with Milwaukee. Now, it's interesting. Milwaukee is the team that I, as a Dodger fan, wanted to face. That's the team I wanted, and we got that team. They offensively, they're just not very good. Pitching wise, they can be very, very good. And, of course, Josh Hader, who we knew from 2 years ago in the 2018 National League Championship Series, is great. But they've added to that Devin Williams, who, get this, Devin Williams has allowed 1 earned run in 27 innings. He has struck out 53 guys in 27 innings. Josh Hader has 13 saves, hasn't pitched as well as Devin Williams, but is going to be there. So the bullpen and Brandon Woodruff, their one starter, their one ace, who threw a 2-hitter on Saturday night, is somebody Milwaukee will throw out there, whether it's Wednesday night in Game 1 or Thursday night in Game 2. They've yet to name a starter. The Dodgers named their Game 1 starter. It is Walker Buehler, recovered now fully from that finger blister. And Clayton Kershaw is going to throw Game 2. And hopefully we don't even need a Game 3. That's the ideal. No Game 3. Let's skip a Game 3 altogether.
Well, as you know, I don't sleep much, but if this goes to a Game 3, even goes to a Game 3, you won't sleep.
I will not.
That's because that's your biggest fear, right?
Oh.
Is that the first team, the Mickey Mouse 3-game, let's slam this first round through series will knock the Dodgers out?
Yeah, I've said it repeatedly. I like the Dodgers to win the World Series as long as they win their 3-game wild card series. I think that's the scariest part of the series only because it is so random. All the experts, 30 baseball experts at ESPN, 24 of 30 are picking the Dodgers to win the National League pennant, to go to the World Series. 16 of 30 are picking the Dodgers to win it all. So over half of the experts are picking the Dodgers to win it all. This is a critical year. I think this is the best Dodger team of this era. They are absolutely loaded. And if they don't win it this year, I am going to be devastated. Devastated. Because I think they've got the talent to win. But we got all this going on at the same time. I mean, even if the Dodgers lose again, Lakers win again, we got all this going on at the same time, which makes it fantastic. Yesterday, the Rams got screwed out of a win after trailing big, came all the way back, and then a pass interference call that was a trash call gave Buffalo a chance to win the game, and they punched it in. But the Rams are 2-1, and John, they are very, very good.
You're a Rams season ticket holder. If I would feel extremely optimistic about what I've seen out of the Rams. They won that game, by the way. If you haven't gone and watched the play, you should go see it. It is there's no way this should decide an NFL game. 4th and 9 with the game on the line, and the official just overreacted. Both these players. Matter of fact, do you have that thing, Stephen A? We played a clip from Stephen A earlier,
yeah.
And he encapsulates this perfectly.
Encapsulates it.
Is that what I said?
You said encapsulate.
Encapsulate. I think that's a word we
should
start.
Be a word for all we know. We often get lucky on weird words.
Encapsulates this perfectly in that they can't. They were fine with you. Here's Stephen A.
Well, first of all, if the game is decided by an official in most people's eyes, that would qualify as being robbed. And that's why I believe they were robbed, because they were down by 25 points. They came back. They had the lead. Okay, here you are in a situation where, what was it?
Fourth and eighth,
right? Gabriel Davis, if I remember correctly, mm-hmm. That's his name, okay?
Yep.
Darius Williams. They're literally tugging on each other. The official has no business interfering with a play like that. Let him play. We watch the players play. We understand that there's certain obvious things that you just can't allow to transpire because rules are rules, and we get all of that. But when something is going on and it's even keel, it's 50-50, it's me against you, with the game on the line and the official is the one that makes the call to save the day, and it's so highly questionable, I think that qualifies as robbery. And that's what I think was transpiring here.
Robbery
is right. What
it was, John. Outright robbery.
He's right. But I don't think, I had that as a loss. I thought Buffalo was going to be a really good team. And by the way, they were down 28-3. Had they come back, Mace, they did come back.
Yeah,
had they held on, it would have been tied for the third greatest comeback in NFL history.
That's crazy. No, and they came. And by the way, Jared Goff looks like a completely different guy. This is 2018 Jared Goff. And the one thing that I love, whereas last year Todd Gurley had a hard time generating yardage as the feature back, this year they've got multiple guys who've been able to do it. Darrell Henderson was the guy who emerged this week with Cam Akers hurt and Malcolm Brown banged up a little bit. But, I mean, they've got three real backs in a stable this year. And I think that's okay. I think we've moved to the era of specialty back as opposed to bell cow back. I don't think we're going to see as many of those as we used to, John.
And I don't think we'll ever get the true story of what Todd Gurley was last year. Because I don't know. You remember all those weird games where they didn't play him at all, he begged off of, it was just a weird dynamic. And he's not exactly setting the world on fire with the Falcons. The Falcons keep blowing these leads.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
That
somebody's got to pay for that.
I think there's going to be coaching changes in several places. I think Adam Gase, the coach of the Jets, is in real trouble. Matt Patricia, had the Chargers pulled off that hook and ladder,
yep,
would have been in deep trouble in Detroit.
Oh, completely dead, yeah.
And now I hope that Anthony Lynn's not in trouble, because the Chargers have started 1-2, because I really like Anthony Lynn.
I like Anthony Lynn, too. He's the one thing I like about the Chargers.
But that's a bad loss to lose to Carolina at home. Carolina's in a rebuild. They have a brand-new coach. So I think that there's going to be, even though we're in COVID and things are uncertain, I think there's going to be a short leash on a lot of these coaches. The Giants have a brand new coach, so you would think they won't fire him during the season, but he looks like he may not be cut. This Joe Judge looks like he may not be cut out to be And Adam Gase just looks like it's not going to work.
No, it's definitely not going to work. And Sam Darnold looks, unfortunately, way in over his head right now. In over his head.
And have you turned on Tampa Bay yet? You know, that they're going to win that division, Mace. New Orleans doesn't
look good. Didn't realize Drew Brees was going to be this Drew Brees.
Well, and their defense.
What happened to Drew Brees? Where'd they put him?
New Orleans' defense isn't any good.
Yeah. But, I mean, Drew Brees is not the guy that he was.
Right.
I mean, he appears – I kept saying – well, this is a Max thing. The Tom Brady's gonna meet the cliff.
Yeah,
it looks like Drew Brees may have got there first. all right, coming up next for you, we should let people on the. We've just won the Western. We're going to the finals, John. We're going to the finals. We haven't taken any phone calls. What's wrong with you?
All right, open the phones. 877. Well, everyone knows how you feel about phone calls. So
I love the callers.
So the fact that you're allowing phone calls must mean that this is a huge. Catastrophic event that the Lakers are going back to the finals.
It is.
877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. I think it's Lakers in six, maybe seven. Mason is calling it another cakewalk.
It's a cakewalk. Where's my cake? Lakers in five. Ireland, respect the cake.
I think you need to respect Jimmy Butler.
Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. By the way, one of the big stories of the day, shocking story, Doc Rivers fired as Clippers head coach. Wow. That's crazy.
And Adrian Wojnarowski reporting the two leading candidates to replace Doc are Ty Lue, who was an assistant under Doc.
Who I said was going to get the job.
Or Jeff Van Gundy.
Oh!
Now Mark Spears reporting the Pelicans and 76ers have already reached out to Doc Rivers about their head coach.
Opening. Wow.
So if Doc wants to keep coaching, he'll be back in the saddle before too long.
Now what happens? Do they still pay him the $10 million?
2 years.
2 years at $10
million? Yeah, I'd have to look and see. That was his salary when he was both the coach and the GM. I don't know if they asked him to take a pay cut when they took GM away from him.
But if he took another job, they would immediately... reduce what the Clippers are paying.
Yeah, like so let's say the new place is paying you $6 million, then the Clippers would only owe them $4 million.
I'd sit on the beach. That sounds like a good deal. $20 million over 2 years. Sounds like a very happy retirement and a job in the media.
A friend of mine who is a diehard Lakers fan just texted me. I'm totally bummed out Doc got canned. He was a key factor in the Clippers' mediocrity. Rivers is a media darling, every interviewer's dream, but in X's and O's, he stunk. Look at his career record, weigh it in with the Hall of Fame players he's been gifted. So this guy thinks it's bad that Doc got fired.
Bad news. Bad news, Doc is gone. Yeah, I mean, it really came out of nowhere.
Now the Clippers actually have a chance.
Yeah, no, they have a chance. I think, you know, they flopped. They flopped, and there has to be some accountability.
But it's
they blew
weird
a 3-1 series lead to, frankly, what was a good story, but not a great team in Denver to collapse the way they did.
Okay, but well, here's weird. Let's say they hire Ty Lue.
Okay.
Ty Lue was sitting right next to Doc.
Right.
The whole time. He was his lead assistant. If Ty Lue could have fixed it, wouldn't he have done it?
Well, it's not his team, not his culture. He's not running the show. No. No, I don't think so.
He takes no blame, no culpability.
Didn't this happen before with Ty Lue when Ty Lue was in Cleveland as an assistant and David Blatt was fired and he became the head coach?
Yeah. Hmm. So what are you saying?
I'm saying I think Ty Lue is going to be the guy. He's been in this situation before. He's been the guy behind the guy who the guys turned out to like better than the other guy. Did you catch that?
Yeah,
didn't make sense?
No, but...
I didn't think so.
Yeah.
I didn't think so. all right, so what can you say? Are we going to get two virtual parades this year, John?
I don't know. How would that work?
Well, I'll be a virtual parade fan. By the way, I did not like being a virtual fan.
Both teams on the same bus or same truck or whatever parade. Both teams.
Oh, both teams on the same bus. No, I think they each want their own shine. Everybody wants their own shine.
Yeah, it's true.
Lakers, it's been a decade. Dodgers, it's been, what, 32 years? 32
right.
years.
Right. I wonder if you could Could you do a socially distanced parade? Be a little risky.
No, that's an impossibility.
Like I just saw a blurb that Comic-Con, the big convention, is going to go on with coronavirus parameters. But I don't think you're allowed to have conventions in California. I think the state forbids it. I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I know. San Diego's in a different category. I don't understand all this stuff. I'll tell you a story.
All right, you want to do it out before or after we take these calls? We got full.
Oh, no, let's take the calls. I'm sorry. I didn't realize.
Okay. Let's start with Albert in Moor Park. Hey, Albert, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, John?
And I am excellent, Albert.
Yeah. I love the Moor Park people.
Never been to Moor Park in your life.
All I want to say is I was a longtime Laker fan. Been listening to you guys since Jeannie was your,
when update person.
Jeannie Velasco was going with you guys in the morning drive.
Sure.
Judy Zabluski.
Lakers in five. Not going to be a cakewalk like Mace thinks.
Cake. Respect the cake. Wait a minute. You're saying Lakers in five. How's that not a cakewalk? It's a gentleman's sweep.
Well, because it could be six. Six.
I think it's six or seven, Albert. I'm with you. I think that it's going to be hard.
And the other thing, John, is I was in the store probably. How long ago were you the sideline reporter?
My last year doing sidelines was 2010.
Okay, so probably 2009 or so. I was in the store and you're walking around. I said, "Hey, John, how you doing?" Nobody recognized you. That wouldn't happen now if you were down in the store downstairs, right?
What store were we in, Albert?
We're at the store at the Staples Center.
Oh, yeah.
No,
I'm not. I can walk around at Staples Center. There's much bigger stars than me.
Everybody's going to recognize John Ireland.
I agree. Everybody recognizes John Ireland. He's the voice of the Lakers.
Okay, so the best thing is if you recognize Michael, you guys got to walk up to him and then offer to shake hands with him because it puts him in a box.
Yeah.
He's super germophobic. But he's too nice of a guy not to shake hands.
Yep.
So he'll shake hands and then he'll immediately grab for the Purell.
Which I think is rude, by the way.
I don't know if he'll shake hands now with everything going on.
Yeah, exactly.
He might give you the Larry David bow. That's
true,
Albert. That's a good point. All right,
thanks, Albert.
Hey, Albert, thanks for calling, man. Thank you for listening. All right, here is I think if he's saying Lakers in five.
That's a cakewalk.
Right. It kind of de facto agrees with you, right?
Correct. Lakers in five, to me, gentleman sweep is a cakewalk.
Four or five is you agree with Mason. Six or seven is you agree with me.
Yes.
Mark in Colorado. Hey, Mark, you're on 710 ESPN.
Wow. Get two guys, both from Moor Park, where Steve claims he have been back to back on your show.
I love the Moor Park. We own Moor Park.
I've been listening to you guys since the 90s in San Diego. And
wow.
Hey, Mark, watch this. This is how full of crap Mason is. Mace, do not Google. Where's Moor Park?
It is, south and
Momo knows.
Southeast.
Momo and Claim Jumper in Northridge. She's been through Moor Park.
Southeast. I actually spoke one.
Played in Westlake, which means he may have driven by Moor Park.
I spoke to a class one time at Moor Park College. That's why I was in Moor Park.
Okay, I'll give you it. I'm sure you watched the Rodney King stuff and See Me, so you know See Me.
Yeah, there you go.
Moor Park is a small little podunk town in between Chimney and Thousand Oaks.
Got it.
That's the answer we're looking for. Hey, Mark, do you agree more with Mason that it's a cakewalk four or five? Or
I want
more...
to, but I can't. Living in Colorado, going to the games for the first year. I said I was going to leave L.A. and the Lakers were going to be something again. I've been in Colorado a year. The Lakers are something again. I still think they dropped the first game because they're just notorious for dropping that first game. They win two. They drop game four, and then they win out. Lakers in six.
I agree.
Lakers in six. Okay.
Lakers in six.
That's not a cakewalk.
Maybe seven.
No, not a cakewalk. Say hi to Ramona for me.
All right,
we'll say hi to Momo.
Thanks, Mark. Here's Matthew in Orange County. Hey, Matthew, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi. Oh, Matthew's gone. That means Anthony in Fontana is up. Hey, Anthony, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
How you doing, guys?
Good, Anthony.
Yeah, I got Lakers in five. I seen that glimpse, those last, I would say, 4 to 5 minutes in that fourth quarter, that old LeBron Golden State Series finals just taking over, didn't matter who it was, where it was at, he just took over, They have nobody to throw on him. They can switch out guys. They could put AI on him. But even when AI was on him at the Warrior Finals, he still averaged 35 to 40 points.
Right.
There's nobody they can throw at LeBron. And then you got AD on the other side. And the length of the Lakers is just insane. I mean, what, maybe 21 feet combined? Dwight, McGee, and Anthony.
What, you've done the math of their wingspans and added them up?
No, I didn't. No, I don't have time for that. But I'm pretty sure if you do it, it's pretty close to 20 feet.
Yeah, okay. I'll take your word for it. You're probably better at math than I am. Thanks for calling, man. Appreciate it.
I think that you may see more of the big guys here.
Dwight, JaVale.
Right. I think that in this particular series, because Bam Adebayo plays center and he stays away from the basket, I think that the Lakers are going to use their size when they
can. Yeah, I think so too. And by the way, if Miami runs that zone, the size is even more important.
I just think LeBron and AD are playing at maximum velocity here.
No question.
They're going to be very, very tough to beat. The whole time I'm calling that game when was it, Friday night or Saturday?
Saturday night, yeah.
I'm thinking, do people realize how lucky we are to have LeBron here? LeBron could have gone anywhere, and anywhere he went was probably going to the finals. And he elected to come here to get the Lakers back for the first time in 10 years, and he just, not only is he the best player on the court, but he makes everybody else better.
Right.
And so we talked a lot
about... And when he needs to take over like he did on Saturday night, he takes over.
Right. And on both ends.
Yeah.
And Anthony Davis, I mean, I've covered every... I covered Kobe and Shaq. I covered Kobe and Powell. Back in the day, for people who are old enough, Worthy, Magic, and Kareem were all on the same team. This duo of Anthony Davis and LeBron James is as good. Those guys are in this conversation.
Right.
They're in there with Kobe and Shaq and if they win a title, they will be by default. But, this reminds
me. They're not in there yet, John.
Well, they got to win.
They got to win.
It's not like your Dodgers where winning the division and you want to throw a party.
I never threw a party for a division title, although we've won 8 in a row.
You always argue that they should celebrate division titles.
Oh, yeah, no. I have no problem with celebrating. That's just the way baseball goes.
Yeah, that confetti you saw on Saturday is about as close as the Lakers get.
Well, that's a lot of celebration. Yeah, by the way, they didn't do it for Miami. I think Miami probably said, don't shoot that confetti gun.
No, they did.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Miami had confetti?
Yeah, same thing.
Is that true?
I was watching.
They broke out
the hats and the shirts.
Yeah, did all that stuff. Yeah. They did all that stuff. It should be good. It'll be a fun series. It'll be a fun series. It's cakewalk, but it'll be fun.
It's not a cakewalk.
All right, coming up next, John, I will tell you the crazy way around COVID and some of the big questions we've been asking about it and when life can return to normal. I discovered something I want to tell you about next. 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. What is going on? It is a great day in Los Angeles. The Los Angeles Lakers are going to the NBA Finals. That starts Wednesday. You will hear every game here on the home of the Lakers, 710 ESPN. Dodgers will kick it off against Milwaukee on Wednesday night as they start their short 3-game miniseries. With the hope of getting to the NLDS. All right, so John, we talk a lot about when are concerts going to come back, when are shows going to come back, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So get this. You and I both love Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. Is it coming back?
The season premiere is sold out, and it's happening this Saturday night.
Really?
So it's being performed with a full audience.
Okay.
Everyone is getting one of those rapid tests before they even go into the studio to see the show. So in other words, you're clean when you go in. You've been tested. So they're going to go with a full audience that has already been tested, all the cast, all the crew, and all the fans and audience, and that's going to allow them to go with a full house. What do you think?
I love it. I mean, you and I have been lucky enough to go to it in person. Yeah. I wonder when you say full audience, though, if they're going to practice social distancing in the audience. It's not that big of it only seats about 150, 200 people. So I wonder if they're going to, you know, have like what we're talking about doing at SoFi, like having space between the seats, or if they're going to fill all the seats up. Because if they fill all the seats up, you're right on top of people.
But if you're negative for COVID, what's the difference? In other words, you don't have it. And everybody in there doesn't have it.
Okay, so wait a minute, though. There's got to be a change in how they orchestrate it, because they do the dress rehearsal at 7:30. That runs 2 hours. Then at 10, they start to let the second crowd in, and that's the crowd. So if I take a test at 10, they'll know by 11:30 whether or not I have it?
That you will not go into that audience until you've been tested and test negative. I think it's amazing.
I think I'm rooting for it. I hope it works.
Yeah, I hope it works. It's great that Saturday Night Live's coming back. Love that show. I miss when it's gone. I miss when it's not running. All right, so where do we go, man? There's so much stuff. I want to circle back to the Rams, who I am, despite the terrible call, and I think it was a trash interference, pass interference call at the end of that game. Despite that, I am so optimistic about this team. They look, and in that comeback yesterday, obviously they were terrible defensively in the first half, but that comeback yesterday was spectacular. I mean, they actually came from down 28-3 and managed to take a lead. And it wasn't until that. And by the way, Rams fans are pointing out, and rightfully so, that on that game-winning drive, they allowed the Buffalo Bills to convert on a 3rd-and-21. A lot of people say that's where the Rams broke. They allowed them to convert on a 3rd-and-21.
Well, but here's the bottom line.
In that same drive.
They don't throw that flag, and the game's over, and the Rams win.
Right.
I mean, there's no other way around that. I mean, you can go back and break down plays from earlier in the game. There was a turnover in the first half where they said it should have been the Bills' ball.
It was an interception. And
yeah, and they gave it to the Rams. I don't care. The play that decided it, the 4th-and-9 play, if you don't throw the flag, the Rams win the game. So I'm looking at that as a game that that most of the players that played in it think the Rams should have won, and they got a kiss. Now, the Rams have gotten a kiss before. My favorite Nickell Robey Coleman play, you know, was a kiss.
Yeah, threw his ass on a Waffle House frying pan.
Right. So, I mean, it happens, but I feel really good about the Rams. Now, we haven't had, because there's been so much going on with Doc Rivers getting fired and the Lakers making the finals and the Dodgers starting on Wednesday and the Rams getting hosed. We haven't even mentioned this Monday Night Football game tonight.
Yeah, which is a great one.
Which starts in 2 hours. Chiefs at Ravens. Do you think Patrick Mahomes can go into Baltimore and beat the Ravens?
I like the Ravens.
I think most people do.
I was just checking the line. Do you know the line for it?
I don't.
Yep, I've got it. Okay, what do you think?
Well, Ravens get 3 just for being at home. I think the Ravens. I'm going to go Ravens 3.5.
Ravens by 3. You're right on it.
Yeah,
you're always right on it.
Yeah, it's close.
By the way, my bets this weekend, John, were extraordinary.
Did you win any of them?
I lost Saturday night $3,000 on the Lakers minus the 6.5.
Okay.
I lost Lakers over under 214.5. This was actually for game number 4.
Okay.
I won Steelers plus 4 over Houston. I lost Giants plus 2.5 at Buffalo. Rams plus 2.5 at Buffalo.
Okay.
Giants plus 4 over the Niners and a $2,000 parlay.
So you had a pretty lopsided weekend there.
Oh, it was brutal.
But Mace, we have more games than ever for you to get it all back this week. You know what? I'll bet tonight.
I'm going to bet tonight, too. Which way are you going to go? I'll go the other way. You're going to go Kansas City.
I wish I got more. Will you give me 3.5 if I take the Chiefs? I could find 3.5 somewhere. I just don't know where to look.
You know what? Actually, I do see 3.5 here.
All right,
you can get 3.5.
All right, give me the Chiefs and 3.5.
Okay, and give me the Colts minus the 3, or the Ravens minus the 3.5.
Okay, yeah. If the game was in Kansas City, I'd feel better about this. But I'm
me
a
too.
Big, I'm a big Mahomes guy. I'm a big Patrick Mahomes or Andy Reid guy. Let's get it done, Chiefs. Come on.
Yeah, it should be. It's one of the biggest Monday Night Football games. Probably best Monday Night Football game of the year. You're just not going to see these two guys together again. I mean, it could be a preview of the AFC Championship game. Wouldn't surprise me at all. These are the two best teams in the AFC.
Well, you could argue the two best teams in football.
You could absolutely make that case.
Seattle looks good. Green Bay looks good. Rams look good. But these two teams look like they're the best in the league.
Yeah, and it all comes down to quarterback. And, you know, yesterday I was looking around at the quarterback play. I'm always amazed at how badly people can judge quarterbacks.
Well, like, look at Carson Wentz.
Oh, look at Carson Wentz. Yeah, that's a flameout. That was the number two pick overall in the draft. And at one time was being compared to Jared Goff. Now they're talking about him being replaced by Jalen Strong.
Jalen Hurts.
Oh, I like Jalen Strong better.
Jalen Strong was a wide receiver for ASU. He was
by the way,
good.
You know what he did to us.
Yeah, he made the Hail Mary catch.
He killed us with that bomb at the Coliseum.
So all Jalen's in your mind will be Jalen Strong.
Jalen Strong, yeah. No,
Jalen Ramsey can't even replace Jalen Strong.
Can you afford to replace a franchise quarterback who you just paid that much money to?
Sure. You're talking to a guy who's a fan of the Raiders when they drafted Jameis Winston, or not Jameis Winston. Who is it? I can't even think of his name. The guy from LSU with the first round pick. Jamarcus Russell.
Jamarcus Russell. There
I've
you
already
go.
Put him out of my mind.
See, we don't even remember anymore.
Yeah.
I swear, taking quarterbacks is like 50-50.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. Goff turned out to be pretty good. He's number one pick. Mahomes
and
is
Wentz,
pretty good.
And Wentz turned out to not be.
Yeah.
So it is – quarterback evaluation is the most difficult. I'm always amazed. Denver never has a good quarterback. Denver never – I mean, Drew Locke, I'm sure, a nice guy.
Since John Elway.
Since John Elway, they haven't had a quarterback, and John Elway is the one running the show. He did have the 2 years with Peyton where he chose right. But in terms of drafting quarterbacks, he's been terrible.
All right, so we're going to do a change in Game of Games, right? We've agreed that we're going to start the October clock early.
Yes, because you walloped everybody.
Okay.
You won seven times in the month of September.
Yeah, then the games mean something. And it's my game today anyway, so that means one of you guys will have the lead going into October.
Cool. Game of Games coming up next for you. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. Game of Games. Here we go. We are starting a brand new month. So far, June was won by Lindsay. July was won by Ireland. August was won by Lindsay. September was won by Ireland. I do not hear my name anywhere.
There's a pattern here.
So I have yet to win. Jorge has not won, but he's just got here. Michael Thompson joins us some days, and he's done well in these games. But, John, today is your game.
Okay, so in honor of the Lakers-Heat NBA Finals, I have a quiz. It's true or false. I have seven of these and a tiebreaker if we need it. All right?
Okay.
So here we go. Lindsay, on her birthday, by the way. Happy birthday, Lindsay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
If the Lakers continue to start Dwight Howard, L.A. will start three former number one overall picks, LeBron, A.D., and Dwight. The Heat only have one starter who was even taken in the first round, Bam Adebayo, who was drafted 14th in 2017. Lindsay, true or false?
False.
George or Jorge, true or false?
False.
Mace, true or false?
Only one guy that was a first-round draft pick?
Correct.
I think Hero might have been late first.
Jimmy Butler was – so you're going –
Yeah, I mean, come on. You didn't know that Jimmy Butler was a first-round pick?
Well, Jimmy Butler was the last pick in the first round.
Still a first-round pick, though.
Yeah, 30th pick in 20. So you guys are all on the board. Okay. Jorge, this one's to you.
I got it right just with the wrong guy.
Yeah. Shaquille O'Neal is the only player ever – to win a ring with both the Lakers and the Heat. True or false, Jorge?
False.
Okay, Mace.
I'm going to say Lakers and Miami. I'm going to say that's false.
All right, Lindsay.
I think it's also false.
All three of you incorrect.
Oh!
It is 100% true. Shaq is the only guy to ever win a ring with the Lakers, and then in 2006... he won one with the Heat. Gary Payton was on that 2016, but he never won a ring with the Lakers. All right, so it stands at 1-1-1. Mace, this one goes to you.
Okay.
Thanks to LeBron and Dwayne Wade, if you combine his years as a coach and executive in Miami, Pat Riley has actually won more rings with the Heat than he did with the Lakers. True or false?
One, two...
Three.
I will say he – yeah, I'll say he won more with the Heat.
Okay, so you're going true. Lindsay.
I'll also say true.
Jorge.
I'll say true.
All three of you, incorrect.
Incorrect.
Oh!
He won four rings as the Laker coach, another as a player, five total. He's won three with the
three.
Heat. 06, 12, and 13. It remains 1-1-1.
We are really good. We're tearing it up.
A spirited battle. We go back to Lindsay. Lindsay, the Lakers have six players on their roster who already have at least one title. LeBron, Danny Green, Quinn Cook, JaVale McGee, J.R. Smith, and Rajon Rondo. The Heat only have one. Udonis Haslem. True or false?
I'm going to say false.
Okay, Jorge.
I'm going to say true.
Mace, break the tie.
I'm also going to say true.
It's false. Andre Iguodala has three rings.
That's right.
From his days with the Warriors. And Lindsay takes the lead. All right, Jorge, this one to you. The Lakers last won the title when they beat the Celtics in 2010. Ever since then, either the Heat or the Warriors have been in the finals for 10 years in a row. True or false, Jorge?
False.
Mason?
10 years in a row.
True or false?
True or false? I'm going to say that is false.
Lindsay?
True.
It's true. Think about it. Lindsay goes up 3-1. The last one of these that featured the Lakers and the Celtics were in 2010. Then it was 4 years in a row of the Heat, 5 years in a row of the Warriors, and now LeBron back in or Miami back in it. Okay. Lindsay, three. Jorge, one. Mace, one.
I'm staging a comeback.
You need to hit these next two or Lindsay wins it. You guys need to keep her off the
board. I own this.
All right. Who went for Jorge? So Mace, you're going first this time.
Yep.
All right. Pat Riley is the winningest head coach in Miami Heat history. He's also the second winningest Lakers head coach behind only Phil Jackson. True or false? Mace?
I'll say that's true.
All right, Lindsay.
False.
Jorge.
I'm going to say false.
Jorge stays alive. Mason's out. Eric Spoelstra is the winningest head coach.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
In history. Oh, actually, I was wrong. Lindsay, you got four. George, you got two. Lindsay wins it. We'll play the last one just for fun. Besides LeBron, Lindsay, there are no other players on either roster who have played for both the Lakers and the Heat. True or false?
I'm going to say true.
All right, George.
False.
Mace.
I'm going with Jorge. False.
You guys are right, George and Jorge. Do you guys, Jorge, you know who it is?
No.
One other guy. Mace, you know who it is?
Played for?
The Heat and the Lakers. There's one other guy besides LeBron. Lindsay, you should have known who it is.
Waiters.
Waiters. Deion Waiters. Yeah, Deion Waiters is the guy. But Lindsay wins, and she's off to another lead in the
We let her win for her birthday. That's why.
Yeah, we let her win. It's her birthday.
You should win on your birthday, Lindsay.
Yeah.
I should, and I did.
I agree. By the way, I think I lost on my birthday.
Well, you've lost almost every time.
It's no surprise.
Yeah, you always lose.
When did I get bad at games? I used to be really good at games.
As soon as we started game. No, you never really were.
I was. I mean, remember Name That Tune and Birthday Game and all that stuff?
Yeah, but Birthday Game, you were giving the clues. If you and I were on a game show together, you would give the clues.
I'm surprised you remember that, Mace. I'm surprised you remember that.
Remember what?
That you used to win. You don't even know who was on the show last week.
It's true. I don't remember last week.
Yeah,
I'm sure it was good.
If we were on the $100,000 pyramid, you'd be the one to give the clues because I would have no confidence that you'd come up with
it. Make something up. I would do it. I would win on $100,000 pyramid.
Yeah, if you gave the clues, you'd be good.
No, I could win if I was given the clues.
All right, I'll come
I'm a smart person.
I have rights.
I am smart.
I'm good enough. I'm smart enough.
Smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like me.
People like me.
All right, so coming up next for you.
I think we're doing crosstalk with now who's Sedano rooting for in these finals?
Oh, that's a good question. I thought about that.
He grew up with for the and the team. He picked the Lakers at the start of the playoffs, so he may root for the Lakers just to support his prediction.
Yep. Hey, one more thing here. Snoop Dogg, before we go to break and get ready for crosstalk.
Huge
Snoop
Laker
Dogg
fan, Snoop Dogg.
Recorded a what is sure to be a hit song after the Lakers won on Saturday night. Jorge, hit it.
My new song. In game one, in game two, in game three, in game four, in game five. Get your out the bubble. In game one, in game two, in game three, in game four, in game five. Laker gang, we back in the finals. We back. Nelly Mo, we back, cuz.
We back.
We
the
back.
King is back.
The king,
the
LBJ,
king.
LeBron Listen. James.
Yes, sir.
Now, I couldn't tell, but I think they may have been using the pura fresca, Yeska.
They probably were. And you know what would be interesting? I was just thinking about something. You know, whenever the Lakers have been in the finals over the years, the car flags increase.
Oh, yeah, they do.
I haven't seen a lot of car flags so far. Have you?
I don't see as many
cars
as
I used
to. Well,
you don't go. Yeah, you don't drive. You're not on the freeways like I am.
No, I go somewhere every day. I've decided I'm going somewhere every day.
When's the last time you were on a freeway?
Today.
Where'd you go?
I took the 10 to National.
That's like, for you, that's like 2 minutes on a freeway.
Yeah, that's all. But I mean, I drove to the studio 2 weeks ago. I mean, it's a ghost town. I just think there are fewer cars out there.
Yeah, so I wonder if we'll start to see the car flags pick up.
Hope so.
Are people watching these games? Like, there are some people at the Yard House socially distant.
Are there?
When I do the games, but not very many. Like, I
inside, does that count? Don't you have to eat on a patio?
Yeah, but they have a patio.
Oh, okay, got it.
But there aren't, and there's some people on the hotel patio, but not very many. You know, it would just, there's an energy in the city when the Lakers are in the finals.
Oh, yeah.
That it's going to be sorely lacking.
Yeah, but it's there's a certain, you know, it's kind of the same. The Rams yesterday. I looked at the game, and obviously I'm a huge Rams fan and season ticket holder and all that stuff. Actually, we're getting a private tour of SoFi Stadium this Friday, which I'm so excited about. But for some reason, because I don't have the opportunity to be at any games, like the home games I can't go to, it feels less I feel less connected to it all. Like, when I go to Rams games and I'm in the middle of all that, I get caught up in it. You don't get as caught up when you're just watching something on television.
Yeah, it's a different experience. Hey, we forgot. How much money are we betting on the Monday night game tonight? Mythical.
What do you say? $5,000 mythical dollars.
That's a lot. All right.
It is.
Yeah. Why not? Sure.
Okay.
You've got Baltimore.
I've got Baltimore minus the 3.5.
Yep. So I'll take the Chiefs. All right.
Coming up next for you is Crosstalk. George and LZ are coming in here. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. We don't fade. We pass the baton to George and LZ.
Yeah, who's fading?
Who's fading?
Mace, isn't this about the time of day you start fading, if you know what I mean?
Slow fade, bro, at 420.
Yeah. So right. It's not completely wrong.
It's 25 minutes still till then.
Yeah, I got work to do.
Right.
Got stuff to do.
George, how surprised are you that Doc Rivers got fired today?
I was stunned. Like, I didn't think that was going to be the case. How did you guys feel?
No, same exact thing, and I think it becomes very interesting to see where both parties go next. In other words, Doc's got enough money, he can retire, he can go back to TV, and he'd get hired in a heartbeat. But apparently already the Sixers have called him, the Pelicans have called him. He could jump right back in if he wanted to. The Clipper job, George, becomes super interesting because they have the richest owner in sports, they have a loaded roster, and most of all, they have a win now situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
not like, according to Paul George.
Well, Paul George,
yeah, playoff P.
Paul George might not be there, LZ.
I'm just saying, if you have one of your superstars telling the world that hey, this wasn't a make or break year, how is this Doc's fault?
Yeah, My friend LZ Granderson told me that if he got made GM, the first thing he would do is trade playoff P. So
you mean way off P. Off P. Yes.
So but guys, don't you think that because of the money, because Ballmer can pay whatever he wants, and because of Kawhi on that roster and a chance to compete, I think you can literally mention any name you can think of, and it wouldn't be ridiculous to make that phone call. I mean, John Calipari, Greg Popovich, Nick Nurse. I mean, you'd obviously, those guys that are under contract to other teams would have to get permission. But I think that the Clippers could really call anybody, couldn't they?
Well, they have talent, but I believe that there are some teams, not all, but some coaches would want to know who's on the roster. I mean, that's the Billy Donovan situation, right? Like, he wanted to know what the plan was. And when I look at the Clippers organization, and, you know, we can go back and forth about whether or not it was right to fire Doc. I, you know, and George know this, I floated the idea that Doc might be on the hot seat right now, based upon the expectations that the team had and the fact that that wasn't Kawhi's guy. Kawhi didn't pick Doc. He inherited him. And whenever you're in that situation, you're kind of beholden to the fallout, right, in terms of how you relationship is, but also how you guys finish. And so I was worried about Doc to begin with. But when I think about the Clippers organization and the expectations that they have and the flame out that they had against the Nuggets, it's just hard for me. And maybe because I know Doc personally and so I'm biased, and so I want to get that out there to be truthful, to be honest and genuine about it all. But it's hard for me to point the finger at the coach when neither Kawhi or Paul George stepped up in the fourth quarter. It's like, I get there are schemes and defensive schemes and things like that, but the reality is that Doc, it's not Doc's fault that Way Off Peace shut it off the backboard.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
right.
He off the side of the backboard. But by the way, and look, feelings can change, LZ, but Chris Haynes of Yahoo did say right after, in the aftermath of all of this, that one of the big reasons that Kawhi came to the Clippers was because he wanted to be coached by Doc. Now, again, things can change, but that absolutely was at least a selling point over the last summer.
Now there's speculation that Ty Lue could potentially be the guy.
Well, that depends if you want – like, if you want a different voice, would you hire Ty Lue?
It come down to, though, who Kawhi really wants to play for?
He's
been around Ty Lue for a year
and he
likes him, maybe that's the obvious fallback.
Yeah, I think that factors into the equation. But if you want a different voice, right, because Ty Lue comes from the Doc school, right?
Yeah, sure he does.
So if you want a different approach, and I'm trying to and I'm parsing words because this is what talk show hosts do. We all know this, right?
Yeah.
You heard Woj say that it would be a challenging situation, yada, yada, about finding a new voice. Now, I don't know what that means, right? Like, again, I'm going to do the reckless speculation sports talk radio thing and say, well, maybe Ty Lue isn't the guy.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah. Maybe Ty Lue isn't the guy because that would be a similar voice, wouldn't it?
I think
the voice ain't got nothing to do with you load managing. The voice ain't got nothing to do with you not stepping up and guarding the hottest player on the other team. Like, I understand that the head coach is responsible for a lot of things in terms of keeping the team together, leadership, having a game plan, making adjustments, etc. But damn, old dude shot the ball off the side of the backboard, man.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, you're listening to KSB in Los Angeles.
Oh, George.
Well done. Well done.
George sneaks in there.
Yeah. So I'm looking at this roster, and I'm like, okay. And I don't want to make it all about Paul George, but this is an important part because they gave away a lot to get him.
Sure, they did.
What has he done? What has he done?
That's a fair question. Certainly didn't do it in the playoffs.
He hasn't done anything for anybody yet. He's full of potential. But he's damn near 30, and at a certain point, potential ain't potential anymore. It's just what you are.
LZ, is he not the guy that Kawhi picked?
He is the guy that Kawhi picked. But remember, LeBron James went to the Cleveland Cavaliers, went back because he thought that, you know, Kyrie was the guy. And he went after Kevin Love because he thought that was the guy. And then you get them in the kitchen and realize that, oh, I like the food that comes out of the kitchen, but I don't necessarily like the chef.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think the problem with Paul George is that, and you saw that in that Denver series and in kind of the other series too, right, where there's just not this consistency of you know what you're going to get in a playoff scenario, right? Whereas right. that Denver series, he had two games where he scored 10 points, games 4 and 7. All those other games, he was over 20 points. Hell, he had 33 in game 6. Like, he wasn't the reason they lost. But you remember the worst possible
scenario. Him hitting the side of the backboard.
Right.
That's what you remember.
That's the visual, yes.
That's emblematic of who we now view Paul George to be.
Now, by the way, speaking of emblematic, what would be emblematic of this NBA Finals would have been, if we weren't in a pandemic, that all of us would be on a flight to Miami and or Los Angeles and back and forth, potentially for up to 2 weeks. And I feel like while life we've seen is very unfair with this pandemic, just from a sports perspective, it is cruelly unfair to the media who covers the NBA.
Oh, I worry about the media. I worry that their accommodations won't be right and they don't get a good flight.
I mean, how are we not going to have dinner reservations? Nice. How are we not making dinner reservations at Prime 112
on
South Beach?
How much money is Prime 112 losing with that NBA going down?
So much. Oh. LZ, you and I mean, maybe Mason John would come with us, but I doubt it. But I feel like after dinner, you and I would have a really good time on
South
Beach.
Is this a steak restaurant?
Yes, this is the fancy steak.
Do they have an Outback down there?
They have Outbacks.
Oh, I love Outback. Blooming onion, man. Blooming onion.
Yeah, we won't be doing the Outbacks. But however, I will say this to George's point. South Beach and L.A. are the two cities you would draft 1 and 2 if there was a draft of where reporters want to go to cover the NBA Finals.
Correct.
Yeah, the amount of money in social expenses being saved by reporters is staggering.
Now, do you believe, though, that there's also fines and things of that nature that are being saved from within the confines of the teams?
I don't care about the teams. I'm still on what I'm missing out as a journalist.
No, because I'm imagining right now, LZ, we had a couple of calls for Moore Park today, or Rosemead, or Azusa, or wherever people are listening. They are really concerned about the accommodations and the travel arrangements for famous people on the radio and on TV. That's what they want to – they're concerned about it.
Well, listen. We can all get Airbnbs and make it work for us. Like, I don't know if you guys have been on the app recently, but there are some nice, nice locations on Airbnb.
On Airbnb?
You can get some deals right now. That's
you
for
can
sure.
You can get some deals.
So we can still go to South Beach and just do the shows from there.
We could.
Hey, George, I was just thinking about something. If you could theoretically get a coach for the Clippers – and you can get anybody you want, all right? In other words, whoever you're going to make him the highest paid coach in the NBA because you have unlimited deep pockets, and you could pick a coach. Would Eric Spoelstra not be on that list?
Yeah, Eric Spoelstra's the best coach in the NBA right now, I think.
That's what I was
don't know
thinking.
About that.
Well, I feel fairly confident in saying that.
I feel like Frank Vogel might be the best.
Well, here's a fascinating stat.
I like Frank Vogel a lot, and he's going to join us, but I would disagree with that.
I sent this to George the other day. Vogel and Spoelstra have gone head-to-head 50 times. It's 26-24 Spoelstra.
Wow.
That's how close it is. So it's going to be a fun trip. No matter what we think of those two guys as coaches, they love to compete against each other. They're going to treat it as a real chess match. It should be fun.
What's your prediction? We haven't gotten a
prediction. Oh, we're holding it out till tomorrow. I got to meditate on it.
We've been waiting all day for it. I've been promoting. Coming up at 3, George is going to give his prediction.
The meditation.
4.
Tomorrow, the official pick will be out on ESPN.com.
Oh, you're one of those experts?
Yeah. So
nice.
The official pick will be out tomorrow. Should I give you the official pick now is what you're saying? Because I've already submitted it.
You've submitted it?
Yeah.
Well, why not? Don't you want it to sneak preview?
It's 4:06, George. We're technically into your show.
It's your show.
What do you think, LZ? Should I hold off to
Can
to
I predict what
come out tomorrow
I think
anyway?
You predicted?
Go ahead. Predict what – okay, it's you guys predict what you think I predicted. Go.
Okay, that's a good game. Yeah.
All right. George, you said Lakers in 7.
Agreed. You said Lakers in 7.
LZ?
I think you got Miami in 7, while I got the Lakers in 5.
I did pick Lakers in seven, actually.
Yeah, here's my thinking. You respect Miami greatly. You know Spoelstra's a great coach. You don't want the people in Miami to not give you a table at Prime 112. But you predicted that the Lakers would win at the beginning of the season, and you don't want to contradict your own prediction.
Correct.
So you gave the Heat as much respect as you could without renouncing your Lakers pick. So you took the Lakers in
seven. I have taken the Lakers every step of the way. In the preseason, at the restart, at the entire way, every time we've had pick, I have picked the Lakers
to win the championship. I'm with LZ. I'm on Lakers in five.
No.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, of course it's Lakers in five. There's nothing the Heat can do.
What are you talking about?
Oh, I don't
There is nothing the Heat can do against this Lakers squad as long as everybody's healthy.
I hope you're right. But I think the Heat are really good.
I agree. You know what
I
say?
That doesn't mean the Lakers aren't good.
LZ? It's a cakewalk. Where's my cake?
There is no cakewalk. I didn't say it was going to be easy
for Respect the Heat. Respect the cake. Respect the cake.
I didn't say it was going to be an easy five. I just said Lakers in five.
You know what I've been saying all along?
What's that?
Straight to the finals. This is it, man. This is what we've been waiting for. This is the one. And I feel it. By the way, George, who are you really rooting for? I'm curious. And by the way, there's no wrong answer.
I'm going to root for the team I grew up rooting for. But my brain isn't going to let – you know, I can be objective. And that's why my brain said Lakers win the series.
Well, I grew up watching both the Pistons and the Lakers. So I feel very comfortable in saying
– that the Lakers will beat the Pistons if they played right now?
This is nothing like 2004. I don't know why people keep comparing those two teams from back then to where we are now, and that there's absolutely nothing that the Miami Heat can do to stop the Lakers four times in a series. Nothing.
I don't know about nothing. I feel like that's a bit
they're outmanned.
They're just outmanned.
In this sport, if you get hot and you're shooting and they are a great shooting team, you can even up a series much quicker than you'd think.
All right, okay, so fine. Before 1-1 then.
All right, before we go, who wins this Monday Night Football game tonight, LZ? Chiefs or Ravens?
Sweet Jesus, those are difficult questions, Ireland.
Yep.
I'm going to go with the Ravens.
So, Donner, you agree?
I think the Ravens win tonight.
All right, I'm the only guy on the Chiefs. Let's see.
Yeah, I think that the Ravens are also just more of a more physical team. And I think it's going to be a great game. I think this is much like, remember when the Rams and Chiefs played on Monday Night Football a couple years ago?
Yeah,
I feel like this is going to be one of those that's going to come down to the last possession tonight.
By the way, LZ,
I have not looked forward to a Monday Night Football game as much since that Rams-Chiefs game 2 years ago.
LZ, as a Rams fan, how badly did we get screwed on the last call?
The last call was awful, but it's not the reason why we lost. You can't spot a team. You can't spot a team 25 points and then get upset that you didn't win.
Right. Had a bad first half. And by the way, the drive, a lot of people say, you know, it didn't end on the penalty, but the penalty is what put Buffalo in position to win. Right. A lot of people say there was a 3rd and 22 that they allowed Josh Allen to convert in that same drive. And a lot of people look at that and say, that's actually where they lost in the comeback.
They actually gave up two, I think, 3rd and 20-somethings. In the second half, that could have very well changed everything. But as I said before, you spot a team 25 points, you're supposed to lose. So I'm not going to look at one play and go, oh, my God, you cost us the game.
No, neither am I. LZ,
I'm going to look at the entire first half and say, this is where you lost the game. The second half is where you made the game competitive.
Yes.
Hey, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And now we know that the Rams have that in them. Yes. We saw them make a tremendous comeback. They're not going to be out of any game this year all season long.
Yep,
yeah,
absolutely.
Agreed. I think that, look, if you're over – and we said this from the beginning. If you were overlooking the Rams, you were doing so at your own peril, right? Like they Sean McVay is still really good. And their defense is better than I think we anticipated, particularly their linebackers. So, look, they're playing good football.
The defense was awful yesterday.
I know, but they were awful to start the game, but then they played much better in the second half.
And then they started giving up 3-for-22s.
Yep.
Okay, yeah.
Real quick, though, I want to make sure everyone is invited to our star-studded panel to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month.
When is that, George?
Well, there's 2 days. There's Tuesday and Thursday, both at 1 o'clock. You can RSVP on ESPN Los Angeles' Twitter account. Tomorrow we'll have our buddy Beto Duran, of DAZN, Serena Morales of the Rams, and Pablo Cisniega of the LAFC. And then on Thursday at 1 o'clock, it will be myself with George Lopez and former Dodger Adrian Gonzalez.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Sounds fun, man.
Brought to us by our friends at Corona Premier.
Excellent.
Excellent work.
All right.
What do you have next week?
I don't think we're doing it next week, LZ. It's just a
one week thing. Yeah. Shameless plug, brand new podcast, the Culture Pop podcast at stevemason.com. It is with Michael Kelly, who plays Andrew McCabe in The Comey Rule, and he's fantastic. So that's online, stevemason.com. Easy to get there, listen, and subscribe. All right, guys, what do you got coming up?
Frank Vogel coming up in a couple minutes, literally, nice. Like 3 minutes from now.
Excellent, excellent. We're back tomorrow at 1 o'clock.